May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. The gospel for last night, the resurrection story, from Matthew's gospel, begins with an earthquake. So we were kind of cacophonous last night, weren't we? We made a lot of noise. You can go back and watch it. We made a lot of noise. When I was talking with my mother later last night, she said, well, I would think that the vigil would be quieter. And I said, oh no. It's when we start to make all the noise because we've been stuck in quiet, contemplation and self-denial and fasting and doing the preparation work for today. So, I'm not going to make you do a lot of it, but everybody stand up. Now, do you see where the roof is? See where the ceiling is? Phil, this should make absolute sense to you. I want our alleluias to bounce off the top of the room. Okay, so we're going to do this three times. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Okay, that was okay. We're going to try it again. That was just a practice round, right? The Lord, Christ is risen, alleluia.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Ooh, that was pretty close to the top. All right, this is our last chance to really bring it home. Christ is risen, alleluia. Please be seated. Okay, now comes the sermon. John's gospel doesn't begin with an earthquake. John's gospel begins in the quiet of the garden. And there is Mary Magdalene. She's come to prepare Jesus' body. She's come to finish the work that they were unable to do on the day of the crucifixion, on Good Friday. And so I need us to imagine that that garden was quiet, that it was, there's nobody about, there weren't any street vendors, weren't running around. It was early in the morning. And much to her amazement, Jesus isn't there. You know, when you walk into a quiet place and all of a sudden you see something out of the corner of your eye, it makes your heart kind of, whoa. You know, it gives you a little rush of adrenaline. I'm sure that that's what happened to Mary. I'm sure that Mary looked into the tomb and thought, this is not good. This is not what we needed to have happen. How will we say that the Lord is risen if his body isn't there? And then God comes to her. And my favorite phrase is, Mary. The angels come. And they say, tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples. And that's when we start to get the action. And this is my favorite. I didn't even notice this until just a little while ago. Because it's John's gospel, the line. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. And the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. John just has to give a little shade. He has to throw a little ownership in there. I ran faster than Peter. I ran faster than the stone upon which the church would be built. The disciples don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And so they left. Mary stays. Mary stays and waits. And that's where we hear this great dialogue between Mary and the angels, and then Mary and Jesus. What does it mean to wait? To wait on that moment, to be so sad, and then to be exalted, expelled, pushed into the most amazing joy. When we spend time thinking about what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what Jesus has done by laying in the tomb, by what Jesus has done for us by rising, overcoming, and conquering death, we too need to be catapulted into that most extraordinary joy. As John O'Donohue wrote, unfurl yourselves into the grace of beginnings. Today is a new beginning. We've spent the last 5 weeks, and let's be honest about it. We've spent a lot longer time than that living in a Lent. I told the vigil attendees last night that it has felt like Lent has just continued since March 2020. And I know I'm not alone in that. A lot of my clergy colleagues talk about it the same way. We just haven't found that place of joy, that place of utter excitement. And I know that this year, I mean, we're still not packed to the gills in here, but you're not watching the Easter service on the Zooms from the chapel with Pastor Jenny's little computer that would fall over and make terrible sound. There are things to be joyous about. And the biggest thing is, the most important thing is that there is nothing that keeps that stone from being rolled away. That was my theme last night. It's my theme today. There is nothing, not death, not darkness, not sadness, not politics, not economy, not doubt, not even us, that can keep that stone from being rolled away. God's immense love for us, God's unbelievable and ununderstandable, I know that's terrible grammar, love for God's people, for the creation, for what God has made, it can only be explained in saying there is nothing that keeps that stone in place. There is nothing that prevents it from being rolled away. When we look at the cross, we see a cross. When God looks at the cross, God sees the empty tomb. One of my favorite theologians in all the world, he's the great poet, musician, sage, George Harrison. And I have to tell you, this is an addendum to the sermon because it just came to me this morning. I was driving in, I stopped at Starbucks, as is my wont, and there on the radio was George Harrison Tell me, what is my life without your love? Tell me, who am I without you by my side? Tell me, what is my life without your love? Now, I know that George Harrison was singing to a girl. I get it. But let's take the lyrics just a little bit further, because here is a songwriter who wrote about love all the time. And at this point in his career, this is from All Things Must Pass, so 1970, Beatles are gone, George Harrison off making his own music. He was in a moment of figuring out who God was to him. All this music on All Things Must Pass comes out, and it's got all this great undercurrent. And so I thought about this as I was driving up here. Is George Harrison just singing about Olivia or Patty Boyd? No. I think he's talking about the real presence of unchanging, uncompromising, ununderstandable love. And so the question is, tell me, what is my life without your love? So we ask that question of God. Tell me, God, what is my life without your love? Who am I without you by my side? Tell me, God. And God answers back to us, what I feel I can't say, but my love is there for you any time of day. But if it's not love that you need, then I'll try my best to make everything succeed. Come on. What is our life without God's love? What is our life without God by our side? It's doable. It can happen. But is it the best that we can do? Is it the best that we can be? Jesus asks us and calls to us again and again, I've called you to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. I've called you to be the best part of creation that you can be. But none of this is possible without us understanding that there is nothing that will keep the stone from being rolled away. So in this time of Easter, in color and in excitement and in springtime and in new beginnings, and oh my gosh, the Cubbies are not going to do great this season. Neither are the Rockies, so I guess I'm going to have to get an American League team.
No.
No, no, no. No. We'll have to see how the Broncos do. In this time of new beginnings, in the time of the daffodils coming up and the trees budding, let us take our step out into the garden. Let us see the stone has been rolled away. Let us turn our hearts again to that majesty of God's love. James Broughton wrote this on Easter. Shake out your qualms. Shake up your dreams. Deepen your roots. Extend your branches. Trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout. Dance on a brink. Run with your wildfire. You are closer to glory, leaping an abyss than upholstering a rut, not dawdling, not doubting, intrepid all the way. Walk towards clarity. At every crossroad, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your ineffable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes, nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with big joy. Happy Easter to you, my friends. I offer you this meditation this morning in the name of the one who created us, the one who redeems us, and the one who sanctifies us always. Amen.